Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 192 on November the 12th, 2021. I'm your host, Eric. And in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on Bitfarms Limited, Cameco Corporation, and Palantir Technologies, and we discuss three new trades on Senseonics Holdings, Fuel Cell Energy, and Bed Bath & Beyond. That's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about any of the trades presented here on the show or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can email questions to eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's E-R-I-C at theweeklyoption.com. I've also created a few videos to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to know to be able to follow along with me on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them, or visit the YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. Now, after a bit of volatility, the markets managed to close the week essentially flat. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 227 points, closing at 36,100 points. The S&P 500 index gave up 14 points, ending the week at 4,682 points. And now it's time for the topic of the week. The topic of the week this week is creating a trading strategy, which is a big topic, but I just want to touch on a few things. So I wanted to essentially have a few thoughts on creating a trading strategy. And on this show, I cover three types of trades every week. Now, is that a trading strategy? Well, yes and no. A strategy can be comprised of a combination of types of trades, but there's a difference between putting a bunch of random trades together and actually executing a defined strategy. A strategy normally starts with a thesis or idea. It's like posing a question or a statement to the world that will be tested and validated through each trade. So let's say I decide to get long retailers between now and Christmas, expecting holiday sales to push them higher than last season. That can be enough of a thesis to create a strategy. From there, I would consider the trades that will allow me to test and execute my strategy in the market. That could mean buying calls and call spreads on companies like Macy's or Nordstrom's. That could mean selling naked puts or put spreads on retailers. That could mean buying stock outright or covered calls. In this scenario, all of these trades are designed to capitalize on the thesis I put forth. The trades are meant to work in unison towards that one strategy. You can also create a strategy that is tied to a general market or economics concept. A few weeks ago, the Fed said that it will slow down adding money to the economy. That is the first step towards easing inflation that they're going to take. You could expect bond prices to fall due to the lack of a strong demand from the Fed. Once again, there are multiple ways to create a trading strategy based on this concept. Or maybe you like technical analysis. You might believe that the market always moves in a certain direction after a particular pattern occurs with price. It might sound something like, whenever I see a pendant formation, I will buy cheap out-of-the-money options at least 2 months away from expiring to benefit from the expected price action to come. The best part about creating a trading strategy is that you can test it and learn from your experience. That is much different than just throwing a bunch of trades on the wall to see what sticks, what makes money. Do you have a trading strategy right now? Is it clearly defined? Are you tracking your results? If not, you might be missing some of the lessons the market is trying to teach you right now. So that's it for the topic of the week this week. I do want to point out before we get into the trading review that once again, I mentioned sending out a video a few weeks ago, actually 2 weeks ago. That video is coming this weekend. The final edits took a little bit longer than desired, and I actually decided to switch it up and toss in a couple of the trades that I had on in the last month. So switching things around a little bit to make for a better video. Thank you for all of you who looked for it and asked for a copy. I'll be sending it to you this week, so be on the lookout for that. So let's go ahead and get into the trade review of this week, or of last week's trades, and also Thank you guys so much. I got some emails regarding the fact that I recorded the show on Thursday instead of Friday. I'm definitely committed to making sure I get the podcast done so that those of you who are listening on Saturday morning while you eat your Saturday morning breakfast cereal, I want to make sure that show is there for you. And last weekend, I knew that the event that I attended wasn't going to really be conducive for that, so I wanted to get it done a little early. So this week, we're back to the normal schedule. No vacation. Really, last week wasn't a vacation, but back on point. And thank you guys so much for listening. So we will start off, of course, in our review with the cover call. Looked at Bitfarms Limited, symbol B as in Bravo, I as in India, T as in Tango, F as in Foxtrot. At the time, the stock was trading for $7.20 per share. I looked at buying stock and selling the November 7.5 call at 79 cents, hoping for a maximum return of 15.14% in 2 weeks. Well, shares of Bitfarms gained $1.38 this week, ending at $8.58 per share. The call option we sold gained 57 cents, leaving a net gain of 81 cents if you were to close the trade out. Of course, holding the trade through expiration on Friday, November 19th, will allow you to net $1.09 on the trade. That's another 25% of profit for just holding the trade 5 more days. Now, this trade certainly worked out. No need for any adjustments at this point. You just definitely want to keep an eye on stock, right? Make sure that you stay above your break-even points. And we will definitely get our maximum expected return on the trade as long as shares of this company remain higher than $7.50 per share. Our next trade on the week was a credit spread. Looked at Cameco Corporation, symbol C as in Charlie, C as in Charlie, J as in Juliet. At the time, the stock was trading for $27.15 per share. I looked at selling the November 26.5/26 put spread at 15 cents, which could give us a maximum possible loss of 35 cents. Cameco's stock gained 42 cents per share, closing the week at $27.57. The out-of-the-money put spread that we sold is slightly more out of the money at this point, and the spread seems to have held its value, but with stock more than a dollar above our short strike, I really do expect this trade to lose value quickly and expire at zero, which is our main goal. Of course, this trade also expires on Friday, November the 19th, so there's only 5 more business days before this trade is done. So no adjustments are needed. This one worked out as well. So unfortunately, this week we are 2 for 3 winners, not 3 for 3. So that brings up our debit spread on Palantir Technologies, symbol P as in Papa, L as in Lima, T as in Tango, R as in Romeo. At the time, the stock was trading for $26.47 per share. I looked at buying the November 25.5 call spread for 33 cents, which would have given us a maximum gain of 17 cents or a 51.5% return in 2 weeks. Well, Palantir stock fell $3.64 per share, closing the week at $22.83 per share. The company beat Wall Street estimates on earnings per share and revenue, but the stock still fell in value. Therein lies the joys of earnings reports. And whenever you're making a trade around earnings time, it can be a little shaky. So just make sure you're aware of the risk that you're part of. So a company can exceed expectations and still have their share price lose value. The in-the-money call spread, of course, that we bought is now out of the money, and it looks like it's going to depreciate all the way to zero. Now, as much as I hate losing $33 per spread in real terms, I'd rather lose that than the $364 per share that you'd lose in the stock if you were long the stock. So that really hurts. There isn't enough time left to make any adjustments in this trade for this expiration month because expiration is on Friday, and the other spreads, the other ideas we might do just aren't, there's not enough value to make it worth altering the risk to take in a little bit of money. So trading in a much farther out expiration, like another month, should be treated as a new trade. That is not a continuation of this one. The moment you change the month, you're looking at a new set of dynamics, and that is a new trade. So I wouldn't make any adjustments thinking that, oh, if I make these adjustments in another month, they affect this trade. I treat those as two different trades. You need a new thesis for that trade, not the one that you're still operating on, to try to make the loser a winner. So I will take the loss on this one and just plan, you know, my new trades for December on their own. But I am taking the L on the debit spread, which is unfortunate. But again, I knew that earnings were coming up when I put it on. So, you know, it's a risk that I was willing to take. And that's why it's so important to make sure that you know all the factors of a trade, you know what you're really putting on. And, you know, with these spreads, there's a limited upside and limited downside right off the bat. So that's it anyway for that debit spread. I really hate losing. And I sometimes hate these short-term trades like that just because you don't have a chance to make it better or fix it. But there are some scenarios where I really like short-term trades, and I've been doing some of that quite a bit in my portfolio, in my own trading. So I'm going to talk about a little bit of that actually on the video that I'll be emailing out to the people who requested it. So if you want that video, do email me, and I'll make sure that you get a copy of it too. So let's get into this week's trades. And just to reiterate the fact that this upcoming Friday, November the 19th, is expiration for all monthly options in November. We will use the December 17th expiration that's the monthly expiration for December options. So we're going to use that expiration for all new trades over the next several weeks. So as always, let's start off with the covered call. I'm looking at Senseonix Holdings, symbol S as in Sierra, E as in Echo, N as in November, S as in Sierra. The stock ended the week at $3.63 per share. I'm looking at buying stock and selling the December 4 call at 35 cents, hoping for a return of 19.83% in 5 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying the stock for $3.63 and concurrently selling the December 4 call at 35 cents. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $4 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $3.28, and in real terms, the stock purchase would require $363, and you would collect $35 for selling the option. Our next trade on the week is going to be a credit spread. Looking at Fuel Cell Energy, symbol F as in Foxtrot, C as in Charlie, E as in Echo, L as in Lima. The stock ended the week at $11.23 per share. I'm going to sell the December 11-10 put spread at 47 cents, which could give us a maximum possible loss of 53 cents. Now, before I give you the details on this trade, realize that normally we're selling these credit spreads for somewhere between, we'll call it 32 and 37 cents per spread. So when you have an opportunity to sell one like this, that's 47 cents, it looks fantastic. You might say, hey, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, but you really want to. You want to have an idea of why this spread is trading, is being priced the way it is, because that price is telling you something, right? Maybe there's earnings. Maybe there's some other expectation that would push this spread lower. But at the same time, if you don't do all of the research, at least just know and be familiar with and comfortable with the amount of money, you know, your maximum possible loss on the spread. And if you're, since that is your capped downside, that's the most you can lose per spread, then that'll let you size the position in a way that, you know, if it does go against you, it's not going to hurt too bad, but you still are able to go ahead and capture some of that high premium. So we'll enter this trade by selling the December 11 put at $1.34 and concurrently buying the December 10 put for 87 cents. This is a credit spread because we're selling the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices expire above $11 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $10.53, and in real terms, you would receive $47 per spread that you sell and have $53 at risk. And then our final trade on the week, It's going to be a debit spread on Bed Bath & Beyond. It's one of those retailers I was talking about. It's symbol B as in Bravo, B as in Bravo, B as in Bravo, Y as in Yankee. The stock ended the week at $22.54 per share. I'm looking at buying the December 2021 call spread for 65 cents, which could give us a maximum possible gain of 35 cents, or that would be a 53.85% return on capital in 5 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying the December 20 call for $4.05 and concurrently selling the December 21 call at $3.40. This is a debit spread because we are buying the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices expire above $21 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $20.65 per share, and in real terms, you'll pay $65 to enter this spread, and your maximum gain is $35 per spread. So that's it for this week's show. Thank you guys so much for listening and following along. Thank you for the encouraging emails I've received recently too. And as a side note, I am a pretty optimistic, pretty positive guy. And I bought the most hilarious thing recently. So I buy a lot of books from Half Price Books. And they have this this coffee mug of Mr. Rogers. And when you heat it, it starts off with him in a suit. And when the mug gets warm, it switches to him in the yellow cardigan. So that in and of itself is awesome, but it also includes we'll call it 10 different positive, reaffirming messages. I mean, you just want to hug the guy. How awesome in a world that the world that we live in, where you turn on the TV and more often than not, it's not going to be positive. I'm big on protecting my mind. I actually don't watch TV. Protect your mind, protect what's going in and what's ideally coming out as well. But garbage in, garbage out. And that applies to trade ideas too. So, a little bit of positivity goes a long way. So I don't know who out there needs it, but I think you're awesome simply because A, you love options enough to listen to a show with this random guy talking about options, and B, you listen to me. So that's pretty sweet. I think it's pretty cool. I think all of you are awesome. Have a fantastic weekend. And as always, happy trading.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.